Okay, excellent. Well, let's get started. This is the Sprint 46 showcase. We are now 6 weeks away, meaning three more sprints left until this big release, version 3.3. And so I will give a quick overview of what things have happened during this sprint, and then we'll get into looking at a bunch of new features, especially in the vaccines area. For this kind of vaccines MVP release. So here's the quick statistics. Team Parrot got 44 points done the sprint. Not as good as last sprint, but it's okay. There's a lot of features in here for POD. So we're going to spend a lot of time at Showcase today, I'm sure, looking at POD stuff. Some other quick highlights. There is a task around adding GTIN to trade item. One of the big stories is POD, and a lot of these other tasks are all about POD. Another story is the allowing unaccounted quantities in physical inventories, like so that you can submit physical inventories out of order, or historical requisitions, out of order can submit, okay. So that's the other big story. And then other tasks include Jenkins issues and work on the multiple requisition template stuff, and also a couple tasks about the emergency requisitions, the kind of change that product committee approved there. So that is an overview of the 44 points done. Team Ill also got, didn't use points on tickets, but got a good handful of things done, eight or nine things that we'll look at the end. We'll also at the end have a very small update on the OpenSRP mobile app project that's getting started, so people are aware of that. I also wanted to briefly show our stats again on the quality gates. Everything passes, so all 21 projects that are in Sonar passed this morning, and there's nothing failing a quality gate. So that means all the new code we're writing has test coverage that passes, and that's great. So there's nothing to flag there. The one other thing I did want to show is how our points compared to the last few sprints. So here on this graph, this sprint was sprint 46, and we didn't get as many points done as last time, but it's been a more typical sprint, more average. But it is good that most of what we got done was green, meaning the vaccines work. That's the really important stuff that we're showing off in version 3.3. The emergency requisition stuff was some of the blue features that are not vaccines related, and also things like GTINs was in the blue bucket. And we did a few more bugs than last time. We have been pulling in bugs as quick wins. So overall, not as huge a sprint for vaccines points, but still good that most of our work is vaccine related. That's the statistics. So I'll stop there, and I think we should dive into showcasing. But first, just wondered if anybody had any comments on how things went this sprint.
Yeah, so I just wanted to add that we also have this big story for modifying requisition templates to be associated per program and facility type. That is worth as much as 13 points. And that's unfortunately currently in QA. We have noticed some small issues with it, and there is quite a lot to test there, so we didn't want to haste it. But yeah, it's also in place. So I think that overall we have managed to do more than the story points may reflect us at this point.
Okay, cool. Yeah, definitely there's some big stuff in progress. It's okay not to rush it because we definitely want things to be like bug-free, and nobody wants to spend a bunch of time doing little regression bugs next sprint or whatever. So thanks for pointing that out. That's good. anyone else?
I think an important thing will be for this next sprint and the following is that we really are being judicious about what we think we can get done. So we aren't cramming a lot in the last minute in two more sprints. So just let's all be mindful of if there are really big tickets to break them down, which I think we've already been doing. But let's just make sure to keep checking in if something gets really complicated, that we communicate that early and quick so that we have an idea of something that we might need to cut scope on and not make it in if it's going to cause a lot of bugs. But yeah, we still have a lot of features left, and so it would be great to hear from the leads more often about if they think things might not make it or are problematic, so we can deal with those head on.
Definitely. Okay. Last chance for any comments. And if there's none, let's dive into showcasing. And who wants to start us off?
I guess I can start.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Nicodem.
No one else.
Everybody was jumping for the hot potato all at once.
Yeah, so let me share my screen. And which one will we be? Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, so this sprint I was mainly focusing on updating the view of delivery screen to fit our new mockup and follow our new UI architecture. So it took quite some time, actually more than expected. To showcase it, I will go to the proof of manage proof of deliveries. And it's rebuilding. Hopefully the UIT is up to date. It should be. Okay, so to showcase this, I will show one of the proof of deliveries. So as you can see, here we have the columns that were requested. So we have the product unit, quantity order, quantity sheet, lot code, quantity accepted, quantity returned, and notes. As you can see, quantity returned is actually a calculated field, so we don't have to specify it, and when we enter any number, it will get recalculated on the fly. So also, if we try to enter a number, if we try to accept more stuff than was actually shipped, so let's say we want to accept 100, and we focus out of it, we get an error message saying that we can't accept more stock than was shipped. If we clear the fields here and try to confirm the proof of delivery, we'll get all the errors that should be there. So let's
go back with this at 50. Let's leave it at, actually, let's try make it invalid and trying saving it, which should actually be allowed. So as you can see, the save was successful in this case. And if I try to save it again, as you can see, the save was successful again. To make it visible that the changes were actually saved on the backend, I will re-enter the state, and as you can see, the values are still present in the grid. Yeah, so for now, the confirmation only works if the quantity accepted is equal to the quantity shipped. That's because the reason, specifying the reason, will be done in a separate ticket. So unless we accept all the stock we got shipped, we won't be able to confirm. So, and once I click the confirm, you can see that we have the confirm button for confirming proof of delivery. If I click the cancel, I won't, any changes won't be made. And if I click confirm, you can see that the proof of delivery has been confirmed and the screen went to the display only mode. So we can't make any changes to the screen at this point. And if I try to enter any other proof of delivery that was already received, I mean the order that was received, the proof of delivery is also in a read-only state. Yes, so I guess that's it for this ticket. Do you have any questions about this one?
Yeah, I have one question. Could you back to the view screen then? And where is your POD that you confirm?
Yeah, that's the first one. The screen is not actually reloading, so
okay.
That's probably a bug. I will call back for it after I'm done with showcasing. So are there... Yes?
Could you show the ticket again? Because I know that POD is broken down into many smaller tickets, so I'm unclear of like what was implemented in this one and what things are still to come specifically, so I don't want to ask about things that are not yet.
So for this ticket, we've been updating some of the columns. We follow up our new mockup, so we remove some of the old obsolete columns that were no longer required and added some that we wanted to add. So the list of changes is actually here. Most of the time was spent on actually implementing the, I mean, not implementing, but refactoring the whole view to follow the V7 UI architecture, which was the first place we actually implemented it in. So yeah, that took most of the time. Also, during the work on it, we found out a couple of smaller bugs that had to be fixed, like lot comparison on the backend, not working for lot less line items. So we wouldn't be able to actually confirm proof of delivery if any of the line items didn't have the lot. So that was also fixed while working on this ticket. And another bug was the OLMIS 3821, which was about lot search endpoint not returning expected data in some places. So basically the problem was that if we specified more than if we didn't specify any search params. So you are basically asking for all the lots. What was returned was an empty list because we were returning only the ones matching. So that was fixed, and the endpoint itself was extended to allow downloading by multiple IDs, so we could batch fetch the lots for the need of the screen, which also had to be done because in our model we are only having the object references. Yes, so are there any other questions?
I had one. Do this POD process, just to remind us, since it works off of trade items, if I'm understanding correctly, does that mean that it won't, we built it specifically for vaccines, but it could be used for any kinds of any programs, not just vaccine programs, but it seems like it has a requirement of trade items. So it would not be able to be used in a country like Malawi where there are not trade items, where all the orderables are just sort of plain orderables that aren't connected to trade item data. Is that right?
I don't think we have any requirement on the orderable being a trade item. So if we had a orderable, and that would be a commodity type, it should also work.
Okay, cool. Yep, it's good to keep in mind just which countries and which sort of programs this new workflow supports. And eventually we should probably have like some test, once we get this whole circle completed, it might be good to have some test cases that test the whole path of, you know, orders and shipments and PODs for different types of setups. So anyway, thanks.
Yeah, so also for this ticket, I've created two tickets to implement performance tests, which are stubs currently. So as you can see, we already have those tickets.
That's good. I wonder, we should put those maybe on the grooming page so that we do them soon, right?
Yes, I think that makes sense. Okay, so since I already spoke about the other ticket I was working on, being the endpoint fix, I think that's everything from me. So I will be passing the ball to someone else who wanted. Okay, so I will let Claudia share the screen.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. Oh. Can you see my screen?
Claudia, yep, we see your screen.
Okay. So my first ticket is update manage POD screen. In this ticket, I've update navigation label to manage proof of delivery instead of manage PODs. And also update view order button to confirm, remove facility column, period, start and end date, columns, add order status column, and update title to contain facility name and program name. And currently, it looks like this, and navigation label is updated. how their status is displayed. And I think that's it. Do you have any questions? Okay, so, yeah. Okay. So next is extend the get valid reasons endpoint ability to search. So for now, valid reasons endpoint is enabled to search by reason type, by multiple reason types. And okay, I pass here some program ID, facility type ID, and reason type. And oh, I also update program and facility type to be object references instead of IDs. And we have only reasons, valid reasons with credit reason type here. And we can add here debit, and we have debit and credit reasons. Okay, and if we pass something bad here, we get an error message. And I think that's it. Do you have any questions?
Claudia, can you go back to showing the reason types again? So in the clients, yeah, so it looks like the object references, the hrefs, don't have the correct path. I don't see an API slash API slash programs.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
So we'll probably have to fix that.
Yeah, okay. So I will create a bug for it.
I think, and it seems like this would be something where we just reopen the ticket, correct? Or are you saying this is different? It's unrelated to the ticket, just.
I think we can just fix it ad hoc or as a reopen. We don't necessarily need a new ticket for that.
Yeah, I'd like to have us move away from having bugs for everything if it's related to the ticket. So thank you for that suggestion, Sebastian. Just overall in general, we have a lot of bugs, and what we're going to be able to achieve by 3.3, it's important that there are bugs associated with any of the new features we're putting in. It's going to be challenging to get all of them done. So reopening tickets and closing them is definitely preferred right now to make sure that we...
Okay, good catch, Chungsen. Thank you there. And Claudia, hopefully that is a quick fix.
Yeah, I think that is.
this is only related with this endpoint. Others do the XFs correctly?
I don't know.
I think there are two endpoints that do this. There is just a single place in code where that is built. Actually, I was the one fixing this because the path was null. So it was my mistake here, obviously.
Okay, but we only have one place that builds these paths. It's not really, its resource doesn't build it on its own. Right?
Well, yeah,
is there only one place in code where you have to fix this and it's fixed, or
one per service? It should be one per service, so like in object reference DTO or something, I believe.
Okay. Any chance to get that into service util?
Worth looking into.
Because I mean, I know this is in other services and it was implemented over and over and suddenly stops working in one endpoint, so it's kind of intriguing why. I guess the copy paste didn't go well or whatever. Okay.
Okay. So, do you have any questions? So, I'll pass the ball to Lukasz.
Okay, sure, no problem. Screen. Okay. Do you see my screen?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So basically on this sprint, I work with PODs. And the first ticket was related with modifying the proof of delivery structure by removing some fields, renaming other fields, and adding new fields. Also, we have to handle a situation when order is from external path or from the local path. So for external order path, when we convert requisition to order, order is created, finalized shipment and related POD. And now I will show you this. Okay, so currently we have four PODs for administrator user, and all of them are from demo data. And now I will convert a requisition that is related with a facility that has unset a local fulfill flag. So this is a typical external order. So now there are five elements, and also it should be possible to see this. Yeah, and here's the new order and proof of delivery. And of course, it should be possible to come here. I think. Even if there is only zero.
Yeah, it should be possible.
Yeah, okay. And also, as part of this ticket, like I said, the structure was changed. So now POD has received by, received, delivered by, and received date. Those fields exist before those changes. In the line items, we have odd label, lot, quantity accept, rejected. Also, we have nodes, flag if the given odd label use VVM status. This flag is necessary for the validation to check if the VVM status was set, if there is any accepted quantity. And basically that's all. And there's another ticket to create a, to generate automatically POD when there is a, when we finalize a shipment. So in this case, I will move to the, I will look at the devil user. Whoa. Okay. For this user, there is no POD right now. I will convert a requisition. The order is created and we can fulfill it. The endpoint still returns zero, so there is no PODs related with this. And now we create a shipment and finalize. Okay, so order has started shipped and the endpoint should return a related POD. Yeah, we've and basically that's all for about PODs. Do you have any questions about those tickets?
I have a minor question and just a clarification. When new orders are created, is it using the shortened version and then the PODs that we're already seeing in the system had the long UUIDs already, and that's why they're the long order UUID? I was just noticing that when you're creating it, we're actually getting the shorter version, which is what is the desired behavior. So is it my understanding that the longer UUIDs is just demo data of what's getting? I just want to make sure I'm correct with that assumption. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the long order code is from demo data, and I remember that Jakub made some changes, and the new order code is shorter.
Yes. Great. Okay. Just wanted to confirm that. Thanks. Definitely desired to have it be short.
Okay, so I also work on adaptability to have a multiple requisition template per program. I work together with Claudia on this ticket. The ticket currently is in the QA, but I think we can show how it's working because I forgot UID. So basically we have a new view on the administration and we have they're all templates are from demo data, and for API we have two templates according to the acceptance criteria. Also, maybe this one, it should be possible. Okay, it would be possible to modify the name, add some facility types. Yep, modify the template columns. Maybe I will simply check this. Click save. There is a notification message before saving. Okay. it seems like UIT doesn't have the latest changes, so the screen was not updated, but it should be. So after change, we see that the template name was changed. We have three facility types related with this template. And other changes also was saved from what I see. It should be possible to remove all facility types and save. And maybe I will do the same for the essential maths to show that currently, even if template doesn't have any facility types, we still can create a requisition. Okay, so there is no facility types related with. And now, essential maths. And I click proceed, there is no error that there is no template related with the program. This behavior will be changed in the next ticket. Here's the ticket. Probably do this in the next sprint. Also, because we need to handle a situation where there is already existing data, like in Malawi, I created a cross-service migration. This migration simply read program name and facility type IDs from the reference data schema, and based on that, update existing requisition templates to have a nice name to be equal to the program name, and also to have association to all facility types. So after executing the migration, there should be no additional steps required to update templates. Everything should work fine. And I think for now it's everything.
I have a quick question about that last one.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't see that in our ref distro. Are we running it in the migration, the Jenkins job migration?
No, currently we don't have any test to verify that the migration works properly. I tried to add this to the migration test, but I had a problem because the database is in the Docker, and I don't, the port is not acceptable out of the Docker, so I couldn't run properly the migration. You know, I only ran it on my local instance, and I saw that everything works. We probably need some tests before on the release candidate one or something like that. Also, this is only my assumption, but I think what I want to say is that the migration is, without the migration, the service should also work, but without the migration, the administrator will probably need to update the template. So this is more like the speed up the process of migration to the OpenMRS 3.3. Yeah. But back to the question on consumption, there is no any automatic test to verify that the migration worked fine.
Okay. I think it's a little concerning in terms of releasing it. I think I heard that you said it would work, it would still work, but something would be wrong. So it'd be, I don't know, I maybe look to Sebastian to ask if we should do some more here. I'd be a little concerned releasing this from Malawi without an automated test.
Okay. I will try to add some automatic request to verify that the migration works properly.
So did we have an automated testing for our previous cross-migration scripts that we have made?
No. I don't think.
We did.
Okay. All right. That, I mean, it seems like a gap, but yeah, maybe we could follow up in tech form.
Yeah, that sounds good. We can follow up on the tech committee.
Great. Thanks.
Well, sorry, I don't know what I wanted to say, but I wanted to say something. I think I just wanted to say that the migration script is something that the users run between when they migrate from one version to the next version. So it's only, they run it only on two released versions. And then no one really modifies the migration, like the code. So there is less value to have automated testing for the migration, since the code basically won't change after we release it. I guess the only case is that the OpenRMIS versions might change, and someone might consider migrating from, I don't know, the current version to like 3.6 in the future. And maybe that won't work. So.
Yeah, I think we should follow up with it on tech form. I hear what you're saying, but yeah.
Okay, so basically that's everything that I wanted to show you. So who wants to show their tickets now?
Has everyone in Gdańsk presented yet?
I think yes.
Okay, so I can do this, I guess. Okay, and please let me know if you can see my screen.
Yes.
Okay, great. So the first ticket that I wanted to showcase is the ISA upload endpoint, which was broken. So this was the original error that we were getting when trying to upload the ISA values. It turned out that there are more problems to that, but let's maybe just first start with verifying that the upload works at all. Okay, so I am entering the ideal stock amount screen. I am downloading the CSV file. I'm opening it and I will change this first ISA amount value to some different amount, and then I will re-upload that. So at this point, this would fail with some message coming from a refactor of a processing schedules code from string to the code class. So this was changed in the domain, but wasn't changed in the DTO. So at this point, this would fail converting to the CSV model representation. And this was one of the problems. Okay, let's now export the value again. And we can see that this ideal stock amount that I have updated and uploaded is here after I download this file again. So it was updated in the database. Another problem was that those ISA values weren't updated at all. When you selected a file and loaded the CSV file, it would just create all of those entries again. So if we had 7,000 entries, we loaded the exact same 7,000 entries, it would just create 14,000 entries instead of updating those existing ones. As a follow-up, I have created a ticket to create database constraints to enforce that we don't have duplicates in ISAS, and I have also fixed this upload to properly update them. The problem was with the custom SQL query that we are using. It wasn't finding the existing ISA values correctly. After I have fixed that search query, it turned out that the update query was also wasn't working, so I have fixed that one as well. And only then everything was working as expected. And also to avoid those situations in the future, we have added a new contract test. So we now have a contract test that verifies the upload, the download, and retrieving of the ISA values. We have the ISA CSV file in the contract test repository that is slightly modified from the one from the demo data. We test the upload endpoint with this modified CSV file. We verify that we get a success response and that the success response contains a response saying that 7,000 entries were updated. We test the download of the ISA CSV files. We test that we receive a file. We test that this file contains 7,000 entries. And we also test retrieving the ISA values for one of the modified ones. And we verify that the amount was indeed modified after the upload. And we also verify that the total number of elements is set to 7,000 when we retrieve them from the set endpoint. So this is pretty much about the problems with the ISA upload. Are there any questions to that part?
Yeah, I was wondering, thanks for fixing this, if this was just wrong from the whole way back from the time we originally built it, and if it was there anything back then we could have done better to review or catch that kind of stuff?
Actually, it wasn't broken from the very beginning. From what I have noticed, it broke when we refactored to use custom SQL query. So we were working on improving the performance for this. Upload endpoint. So this custom SQL query wasn't working, and we didn't really catch that because we didn't have a test that tests end-to-end, so from the upload to the database. We only had integration tests on the repository level, on the controller level, but we didn't have a one that goes all the way to verify that the values are correctly uploaded, updated, and saved in the database. So now, hopefully, now that we have the contract test that verifies it all the way, we should avoid this in the future.
Ah, thank you.
Any more questions?
No, I just wanted to say that it was a great catch, and I'm glad we built a contract test, and if folks see parts of the code which would benefit from having a contract test at any time, I think the community always kind of new tasks and flag them so that we can continue to try to increase our coverage from for end to end. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, so there are a few more tickets that I just want to mention. So those two are about the emergency requisitions workflow that we have managed to start the sprint. So this first one is, this one actually is about designing the whole feature and the model and API changes. So this also included creating tickets for the whole emergency requisition workflow epic. And those tickets that were created are here on the grooming page for the sprint 47. So this one has already been done, and another one has been started and is currently in progress. We have a couple of more to pick, but what's more important is that we have done this one, which was blocking all the other ones, and that we have designed this feature and know what to do next. And the second ticket was about actually making those domain changes and API. So there isn't exactly anything to showcase, perhaps, but I wanted to mention that as a part of the domain changes, we have renamed one of the tables from available non-full supply products to just available products. And the endpoint was changed for the requisition to return both a collection of available non-full supply products and available full supply products. So for the emergency requisitions, this available full supply products will contain all the products that are available to add on the screen. And those products aren't added as requisition line items until after the users does this on the UI. So the, this was a part of the ticket. And finally, I also had that ticket that I worked on back in Seattle still, which was about defining how we understand the total received and consumed quantity from stock cards for stock-based requisitions that match the reporting work. And we have a ticket created for this, which are here under the stock reason tagging, but we will only get to them provided that there is enough capacity. And I am afraid there may be not, so this may not be making it to 3.3. Okay, and that's it from me. Are there any questions still about any of the tickets? Okay, I hear none, so thank you, and I will let Paweł Albecki showcase now.
Okay, so let me show my screen. Oops.
Okay, we see your screen.
Okay, so I will start with the ticket about story about the R1 accounted reasons for physical inventories. And during this ticket, I removed from API and UI validations that prevented stock to be accounted. Based on accounted quantities. So, and also did a couple more things, so I will show you this. So let me go to physical inventory screen. So before change, we couldn't have any unaccounted business. So if we, for example, fill for current stock 50, it would give us an error. And right now there is no error, but in the column was added an accounted quantity. And here an accounted quantity is minus 17. So yeah, but we can still can add some reasons. So if I pass fill here something, this didn't change. We still fill reasons. Before So we added an adjustment. And now the count of complete is 0. And if I try to submit, I should have an error because I didn't fill every current stock. And it also is the same things happen if I change what input I click on. Yeah, so now we have an error with when stock is not filled. So let me fill it with any quantities. Now I should be able to submit. Let me go to stock on hand view. So here is the change that before here would there should the text here would be overstock or understock, and right now it says only physical inventory. In the next tickets we will add some more info about unaccounted reasons, but it will be in other tickets. So yes, this is for unaccounted reasons, and for orderable when there was a non unaccounted reasons, it still looks the same. We have here a reason that I fill it in that model, and nothing else shown here. So I think it's all for this. Do you have any questions?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so, and I have I have two tickets to show you, there's bugs, actually. So the first one is a bug I discovered during work on the previous ticket. And the problem was with calculations of stock adjustments. And the calculation used some field from backend that was not part of JSON schema, but this property was part of response in previous version of OpenLMIS. But as it wasn't part of schema, it was removed, but the view wasn't fixed. So I fixed that in this small ticket. And maybe I will show quick this for you. So if I added some two reasons. Look at the quantities here and the quantity. So we have two reasons here. Let me submit inventory. Yes, and this is the place where the error occurred. Right now, the calculations are on all calculations are on UI, not not on backend side. So I think this is how it should work. Yeah, do you have any questions for this?
Great catch.
Okay, and so now the last bug was actually Mateusz ticket, and this was about that date select field jumped one day early on every screen that used the picker. I think the reason, and also during the work of this ticket, some other issues were discovered. Most of them was related to using time part on UI for dates that are business dates, and backend use that only business dates that are local dates without a time part, and using time part on UI it caused that issue, I think. So to show this quickly to you, we can go, for example, to adjustments view. And right here, we have a date. And before fix, if we, for example, click on 15 February, it jumps down to 14. And right now it's all fixed. So do you have any question for this?
Nope, glad to see this one is fixed now.
Okay, so thanks. I think it's all from me and from some developer side.
Okay, so there's truly nobody else at Cephalo. We got everybody.
Yep, that's all from our side.
Okay, great. Then before we jump to Team Ill, if Craig is on, looks like he is, from the ONA team, I asked him to come. Eventually, they may have their own sprint cycle in different meetings, but the ONA team that works on OpenSRP has a small statement of work to do an integration there inside the OpenSRP product to connect that product with OpenLMIS. So Craig is helping kick that off, and until that project has like its own sprints, we thought of just using a few minutes here during this showcase meeting to highlight what's going on with that project very quickly. So Craig, are you ready to do the quick review of that?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'll just point you to a couple of documentation links. Forgive me, are you able to hear me? It looks like my microphone's a bit low.
No, I think we can hear you fine.
Great. So should I share my screen or just share the links to the documentation? What do you think would be the best approach?
Screen sharing would be great.
Okay. All right, let me know that you're able to see it.
Yep.
Great, thank you. So over the last 2 weeks, we have met a couple of times with the Village Reach team, and we've clearly defined the integration for a proof of concept demo that shows that allows OpenSRP Android client to send a stock request from the Android client to the OpenSRP server, and then eventually create an order in OpenLMIS. And the second feature that we're planning to work on is when a shipment is created in OpenLMIS, that shipment will trigger a push into the OpenSRP server so that the facility who is receiving the shipment is able to review the shipment that is on the way, and then once it's received, apply the antigen counts to their stock that they're managing in the OpenSRP app. So that's the high-level integration that we're working on for the demo. The demo is about in 5 weeks. We have, over the last two weeks, focused on speccing and setting up the project management areas with the OpenLMIS teams. So right now, as of today, we have written this software requirement specification that's actively being reviewed by our development team. And we had I had a project kickoff meeting with my development team in Nairobi. So now we have all the individuals assigned, and tickets are being created for our first sprint that will start tomorrow. I also wanted to mention that we're keeping the project management documentation for this project in the project management folder in an area called OpenSRP Integration Project Management Area. And we're trying to model the backlog grooming meeting notes and kind of sprint schedule that is being done in other places for OpenLMIS. So that's everything from my update. Does anyone have any questions?
I also wanted to flag that there is a channel in Slack. I believe it's called OpenSRP Integration. Is that correct? And there's also the mobile. There's an OpenSRP integration. So if you have questions or want to reach out to Craig, clearly you can do it directly, or there's also a channel there if you want to learn more about what's happening.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Excellent. Well, then the last part of the showcase will be the Team Ill part of the showcase. And I am here were some of the things Team Ill worked on and got to the done column, both some things that were bugs, but also some things that were like documentation and ideal product model things, some ticket writing that probably doesn't make sense to showcase. Also some projects up on Outreachy and activity diagram and a new dev onboarding document. So I'll let anybody decide if there's any of that that they want to do screen sharing and show or mention this week.
I can show some stuff.
Okay. Go right ahead, Chungsen.
Okay, let me know if you can see my screen.
Yep, there it is.
Okay, so I just have a few things. First one was 3957. Mary Jo and I just created an activity diagram to sort of show all the order, sort of the fulfillment workflow and the order statuses that are kind of related to that. So it's in Confluence. This is what it looks like, and kind of here are the the statuses and kind of how they're related to each other. And then here's sort of an activity diagram that that shows how the order's status, the order status kind of changes throughout the workflow. So that's in Confluence under fulfillment process and statuses. So that's the first ticket. Feel free to review that just for to understand, and if you have any questions. The next thing is this 4017 supporting G10 attributes through an orders dispensable. So this is necessary because we have this idea about trade items fulfilling for commodity types. And so we had already done, the first part where the trade item is classified by the commodity type, but the second part had not been implemented yet. Sort of having that the orderable that the commodity type, orderable and the trade item orderable need to have equivalent dispensables in order for the trade item to be able to fulfill it. However, this kind of required to, this kind of required that the dispensable model would get fleshed out because beforehand it was simply just a string that was a dispensing unit. And so we wanted to use G10 attributes to kind of full out, to flesh out that dispensable model. I won't go into too much detail, but basically there's sort of some new dispensable classes and sort of some schema changes. And so now there's sort of like three, we currently have three types of dispensables at this point. The first one is kind of like a default, which just uses dispensing unit as an attribute, and for all of our non-vaccine products, we basically just use that to kind of keep the same functionality. The other type, second type is a vaccine dispensable, which is defined by a size code and a route of administration. So an example would be sort of like a size would be like the number of doses that a certain product has, and then route of administration is sort of how it's administered into the body, such as by injection or an oral drop. And then the third type was a container dispensable, which is simply defined by its size. And so an example would be like syringes, where like the size could be like 5 milliliters or 0.5 milliliter or 0.05 milliliters. So those are the main G10 attributes that we are using. And sort of the main reason why we, so in order to, so the purpose of sort of making these changes is that when we actually flesh out the orderable fulfills, we need to make sure that that we're using these dispensables to give the right information. So before this was implemented, we would actually have a 0.5 milliliter syringe trade item say that it can fulfill for like a 5 milliliter, or for a 5 milliliter to say that it can fulfill for a 0.5 milliliter. So so we fleshed out this dispensable so that only the correct dispensables are able to fulfill for each other or be fulfilled by each other. So now the orderable fulfills kind of uses this dispensable to give the right orderables that are able to fulfill. So That's 4017. Does anyone have any questions about this one? And just to get an idea of what the dispensable looks like, so something like Intervax BCG, we have like a size code 20 dose, right of administration injection. And then we also have this thing called a display unit, which is sort of the result of if the attributes were converted into a string. And this is essentially what would be shown like in a client in a UI, this display unit property. So here's one for vaccine. Here's one for a container, a syringe. And then we also have just the default one, which is just the dispensing unit as we had before. Okay, if there are no other questions, I'll just move on to the next one. So I'll just quickly just show these bugs. So basically this convert to order page was showing the province or region instead of the district. So this was just to fix that. In a previous showcase, we had seen this had district name, but it was actually showing Nyasa province. So that was fixed. And then another bug was that some of our fire responses were referencing a non-fire resource, but they should be referencing a location. And so that was fixed so that it actually references, so that location part of references another location. And then for device, location reference also references a fire location. So I think that's all I have. Does anyone have any questions about any of those? Okay, if not, then I guess that's it for me.
Okay, anyone else on Team L want to briefly highlight anything? Okay, if not,
I was just going to say I'll take myself out of that.
Okay. A very quick one then for me, the new developer onboarding document is for like summer of code folks to get ramped up on OpenLMIS contributions this summer. So we have it as a Google Doc now that's been finished, but it gives people a kind of before you start a bunch of ways to look at a demo, and then actually kind of getting started, setting up your Docker and getting OpenLMIS running on your machine. Steps for that. And then kind of how to communicate with the community, how to find quick win tickets and reach out on Slack and whatnot. So that now that it's final is going to get moved into probably read the docs and also distribute it as a PDF next week when Tenley's back in town. But part of that content was for Outreachy, which is one of the Summer of Code projects. We're also part of Google Summer of Code this year, hopefully. That's in progress, but Outreachy has already started announcing projects. I don't know if people have heard of Outreachy, but it's another internship project that has both a summer and a winter internship cycle each year. And it is about getting underrepresented communities more into tech, which is really cool. And OpenLMIS is an accepted project with four different proposals, some interoperability with Bomni and others. So if you know anybody who's totally new to tech and is in an underrepresented community, they could check out Outreachy and see if it's a fit for them. That's all I had. Last call for anything else before we adjourn today. once, going twice. Okay, then thank you, everybody. We have three sprints left, so later today, Team Ill will have some work on our sprint planning and meetings to make sure the next round of stuff is ready. And thanks, everybody, for the hard work. We definitely have our work cut out for us, and we'll see you more on Slack until our next showcase in 2 weeks. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye. 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 Bye.